Welcome to Shiur on Svarno Pashas Truma. Like all the Shiurim this week, this Shiur tonight is dedicated by Yaliz and Chaim Meir Mermelstein, marking the yahrzeit earlier this week of her father, Moshe Tzvi ben Yehoshua, the Neshama should have an Aliyah. She should see Moshe Nachas Ruach and the Torah Mitzvahs and Ma'isim Tov, and the entire family is involved in. Over the past 2 days, we saw the comments of the Svarno, particularly surrounding the Aron, the Kapores, the Kruvim, that very essential part of the Kalim, of the vessels in the Mishkan, later in the Beis HaMikdosh, place in the Kodesh HaKodoshim. What I wanted to start with tonight are the comments of the Svarno on some of the other Kalim, some of the other vessels that existed in the Mishkan, and then later in the Beis HaMikdosh. So beginning Perek Chaf Hei, Pasuk Chaf Gimel, the Torah starts describing the Shulchan, the table that was placed in the Kodesh, in the area that was immediately outside of the Kodesh Kodashim. And the Svarno on that Pasuk Chaf Gimel writes as follows. Achar Maisei Ha'aron, after the Torah describes how the Aron was made, Shahoyo kidmus kisei lashchina, the Aron, in a sense, was a throne for the Shechina. It wasn't a chair, he doesn't mean that, but in other words, as we saw before, the Shechina, as it were, was manifest through the Aron. We talked about how the Aron, the Kruvim, represented Limud HaTorah, the study of Torah, and as such, just even on the simplest of levels, the Torah describes that O'adhi l'chasham, that the Shechina will manifest itself between the Kruvim when HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaks to Moshe Rabbeinu. So after describing the Aron, Ka'amar of Anu'adati L'chasham, Tziva al Shulchan u'menorah. The Torah then goes on, after describing the Aron, to speak about the construction of the Shulchan, of the table and the menorah, Kimin Hagam Lifnei Hasarim, as a important person would have a shulchan and a menorah for their use. Ke'inyan HaShunamis, as we find in Sefer Melachim, when the Isha HaShunamis, the woman from Shunem, builds a small apartment for Elisha HaNavi, for him to stay when he comes to Shunem. And there, in that story, it's the Haftarah for Parshas Vayera, Be'omra, the Isha Shunamis says, "V'nasim lo sham mita v'shulchan v'chisei amenorah." When we build this apartment for Elisha HaNavi, we'll put a bed there, we'll put a table there, we'll put a chair there, and we'll put a menorah, candelabra there. So the Svarno takes away from this description, Sefer Melachim, that these are the kinds of items that one would place in the dwelling place in the house of a respectable person. I think it's worth noting that when we read this in 2021, we don't really associate a table and a candelabra with great wealth or prestige. You know, I know a very chosh of a person. He has a table in his house. Who knew? Right? A candelabra. We kind of take these things for granted nowadays. You know, if you live in Texas and you don't have electricity, so you see that as a terrible thing, not as a normal thing, right? But again, you know, you have to put aside the preconceived notions we have in 2021 and think about most of history. For most of history, if you were a person of very little means, you were happy to have anything to sleep on. You were happy to have straw to sleep on. The notion that you would have a table is already a sign of a certain prominence. The notion that you'd have a candelabra in order to be able to have fire, in order to be able to have light and heat in the room where you stay, that's already a certain degree of prestige. That's not a simple thing that we take for granted. We may remember Rashi and Bezom and Bez and Brachos talks about when the Ani, the poor person, would sit down to eat his meal. So Rashi says the poor person would eat his meal at night, his supper, while it was still somewhat light outside, because the poor person can't even afford a candle. So, you know, you don't want to eat in the dark, you know, so you eat while there's some natural light outside. In other words, the presence of a menorah, the presence of a candelabra, is a little bit of sign that the person has a certain degree of wealth. He may not be the king, but he has a certain degree of wealth. So in other words, it's an interesting perspective on the Pasuk in Melachim, when the Isha Shunamis says, we'll build an apartment for Elisha Hanavi, and we'll give him a chair and a table and a bed and a candelabra. When we read that, we think, okay, so that's the basic things. If you were gonna open up a hotel, and the rooms in the hotel didn't have a bed and a chair and a table and working electricity, nobody's going to stay in that hotel. You know, those are basics. Those are not luxuries. But in the time of the Tanakh, those were luxuries. Those, you know, the fact that the Isha Shunamis was putting these things into the apartment of Elisha Hanavi meant that she held Elisha Hanavi in tremendous esteem, that she was giving him these very, very fancy accoutrements, so to speak, that were part of the apartment. So coming back to the Mishkan, the Svarno is saying that the presence of a table and a candelabra, a shulchan and a menorah, in the Kodesh is a way of showing honor to the Ribbono Shel Olam. In other words, the Ribbono Shel Olam, as it were, who has his dwelling place, as it were, in the Mishkan, has this fancy furniture which normally would be associated with people of prominence and people of rank. Then he adds the following. Uviyos zer ha-shulchan more al keser malchus. We know that there's a crown which surrounds the shulchan. Just read the pasuk. Pasuk says, Perek Chafei Pasuk of Dalit, Vitzipiso so zav tar, you should overlay the shulchan with pure gold. Vyosiso lo zer zahav saviv. You should make a golden crown around the table, around the shulchan. What is the nature, what's the symbolism of that crown? So he says, it's more al keser malchus. It's symbolic of the crown of kingship. Kedivayim zechrono livracha. As Chazal themselves say, this is not the Chiddush of the Svarno, this is a Gemara in Yuma Ayin Beis Omid Beis. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Shlosho Zerim Heim. There are three crowns that are placed on various kelim in the Beis HaMikdash, Shal Mizbeach, Vishal Aron, Vishal Shulchan. Shel Mizbeach Zacha Aaron and Atalo. The crown that surrounded the Mizbeach was taken by Aaron and his sons, meaning the Keser of Kahuna, the crown of Kahuna. Shel Shulchan Zacha David Venatlo. The crown that surrounded the Shulchan was ultimately claimed by David and his descendants. So in other words, the implication is the crown surrounding the Shulchan represents the Keser Malchus, the crown of kingship. We know the Pirkei Avos talks about the three crowns. Keser Malchus, Keser Kahuna, Keser Torah. If you look up during the drasha, which many people are wont to do, so you can see the depiction of the Keser Malchus, the Keser Kahuna, and the Keser Torah on the ceiling here in Bialystok Shul. So that crown that surrounds the Shulchan is representative of Malchus. So that much Chazal say. But then the Svarno adds the following, which is really his own chiddush, his own unique insight. V'inyan hamelach b'hanhogas hamedina hu al beis ponim. There are two main jobs that a king has when he runs a country. Ha'echad be'inyan ha'mishpat v'zulaso misidrei ha'medina. One task that the king has is internal. He has to run the country. He has to enforce the laws. He has to make sure that everything runs smoothly in the country. V'hasheni lahagein al ha'medina mikol tzar v'oyev. The second role that the king has is external. That he has to protect the country from any kind of enemy who might threaten the stability of the country from without. So the king has to do things within and he has to do things without. Ka'amro, as the pasuk says in Shmuel, Ushvatanu malkeinu v'yotza lefanenu v'nilchamis milchamosenu. When Klal Yisrael talk about their desire for a king, they say the king should judge us and he'll go out before us and fight our battles, meaning he'll judge us internal. He'll fight our battles external. So because there are two roles that the king plays, husmu bashulchan shnei ksarim, there are actually two crowns which are placed on the shulchan. Echad mehem la shulchan atzma, one crown placed on the table itself, hamora al parnasas hamedina besider in yoneho, that crown, that first crown on the shulchan itself, references the role of the king that's internal, that's dealing with the issues that pertain to running the country and making sure that everything is taken care of internally. Vasheni lemiskeres, the second crown was placed on the border, on the rim of the shulchan. Hamore heyos soger ba'ada mikomazik vehashbis oyevu misnakem. The border, the misgeres of the shulchan, is symbolic of the border or the boundary of the country itself. Meaning, a good king is supposed to protect the boundaries, the borders of the country. He's supposed to make sure that no enemy is going to come in. So that's why there were two crowns on the shulchan, one representing the king's internal role, the other representing the king's external role. Now, the Svarnar just told us that there are two crowns that were on the shulchan. Where did that come from? Where did he get that idea from? So on the surface, that seems to be what it says in the psukim. If you take a look in the psukim beginning, Perchof Hei, Pasuk Chof Gimel, you'll see so shulchan atse shitim. You should make a shulchan out of acacia wood. Amosayim arkov, amorachbov, amovachetzi komasa. Okay, these are the dimensions. Vitzipisa oso zahav tahar. You should overlay it with pure gold. Vyosisolo zer zahav saviv. And you should make a crown of gold all around the table. So that's the first mention of a crown. And then Pasuk Chaf Hei says, Vyosisolo misgeres tofach saviv. You should have a misgeres, a border, which is a tefach, a hand's breadth all around. V'yosisa zer zov l'miskarto saviv. And you should make a golden crown on the miskeres, on the border, all around. So it sounds like when you read the psukim, Pasuk Chaf Dalet talks about there being a crown on top of the shulchan. Again, when we talk about a crown, we're not envisioning a crown like they have on the top of the Sefer Torah. We're talking about something that goes around the border and is a crown-like, you know, like protrusions. You know, it kind of looks like a crown all around. So there's a crown around the shulchan proper. And then Pasuk Chaf Hei, the next Pasuk, seems to describe a second crown, which is placed on the miskeres, on the rim, which goes around the shulchan itself. It was one crown on the shulchan, one crown on the miskeres. It's interesting, however, Rashi does not interpret the psukim that way. If you look in Pasuk Chaf Hei, where it says, "Vosiso zer zohav lemiskarto," that you should make a golden crown on the misgeres, on the border, says Rashi, "Who zer ha'amor lemalo?" That's the same crown that was referenced in the previous pasuk. Meaning, there aren't two crowns; there's one crown. Upireish lechokan shalom misgeres haya. The second pasuk is just explaining what it says in the first pasuk. The first pasuk says there was a crown around the shulchan. The second pasuk is saying that crown around the shulchan was actually on top of the miskeres, on top of the border, which went around the shulchan. Now, presumably, the reason Rashi is saying that there's only one crown is because how would it have looked with two crowns? If you have the shulchan, and then the miskeres, the border, is something which is surrounding the shulchan, so then, where's the crown? The crown, presumably, is on the outer rim which surrounds the shulchan. So Rashi says there's only one crown. If there's only one crown, then the whole explanation of the Svarno falls away. You know, the whole explanation of the Svarno is based on the idea that there are two crowns, which seems to be the simple reading of the psukim. How did it look according to the Svarno? According to the Svarno, the shulchan probably looked a little bit odd. In other words, you had a rim that went around the shulchan, that had a crown. And then there seems to have been some kind of inner ring of a crown that was within that, that was placed on the top of the Shulchan proper. What did that serve? I don't know. But, you know, that's what Sfarno was saying. It had symbolic significance, the fact that there are two crowns representing the two aspects of the malchus, of the kingship that a king is supposed to carry out. So again, it's just interesting to know the interpretation of the Sfarno on a certain level fits the pshat of the pasuk that talks about two crowns, but it's against Rashi who says that the two crowns are really one and the same. That's in terms of the Shulchan. The Torah then goes on to talk about the menorah. Pasuk Lamed Aleph, Yosiso menoras zahav tahar, you should make a menorah that's made of pure gold. And on that, the Sfarno comments as follows. Achar sidur shnei aksarim. The Torah has just spoken about items, kalim, which represent two great crowns. Vehem keser Torah ba'aron. The aron represents the keser Torah, the crown of Torah. The keser malchus b'shulchan. And then, as we just explained, the shulchan represents the idea of the keser malchus, the crown of kingship. Sider inyon menorah. So now the Torah is going to talk about the menorah. Kulo miksha achas. And what's striking about the menorah is that it's all made from one piece of gold, one solid piece of gold. Ve'or neroseha echad. And all of the light which is cast by its receptacles, all of the light which is cast by the wicks associated with the menorah, ultimately is all the same light as well. So he hasn't explained the menorah yet, but apparently an important aspect of the menorah and what it represents is the idea is that kulo miksha achas, is that, as the Torah describes, the menorah was made from a single piece of gold. Why was it so important to make the menorah from a single piece of gold? Obviously there's some significance to that. Why was it so important? So in explaining this, the Sfarno bases his comments on Pasuk Lamed Zayin a few psukim later. There, if we take a look, the pasuk says as follows: V'yosisa esneroseha shiva. You should make the neros. Again, neros we said doesn't mean candles. Neros means the receptacles to hold the oil, the lamps to hold the oil and the wicks. There should be seven lamps to the menorah. V'he'ela esneroseha. You will light those lamps. Beheir al ever poneha, and the light that's cast by all of the lights, by all of the lamps, will reflect on the ponim, the face. Meaning, as we'll see in a moment, the middle of the menorah. Although there are seven lamps, the wicks are set up in such a way so that when they're lit, the light is all cast in such a way so that it's cast towards the middle of the menorah. You could set up the wicks in such a way so that the light would be cast around the room in different directions. The wicks are positioned such that all the light that they cast is essentially consolidated into one area in the middle of the menorah. So right off the bat, by the way, you realize that from a practical point of view, that doesn't really do much. In other words, if you were commissioned to make a candelabra to shed light on a room, you would want the wicks positioned in such a way so that the light would be diffused and spread out as far as possible. Here, interestingly enough, the menorah was set up in the Mishkan of the Beis HaMikdash in such a way that the light was not disseminated, the light was concentrated, you know, towards the middle of the menorah. So right off the bat, we understand that the purpose of the menorah is not to simply spread light in the, you know, utilitarian sense of the word, you know, that, it's dark in here, you know, let's turn on a light. That's not the point of the menorah. The menorah has symbolism. Okay, so what's the symbolism of the light being focused in the middle? So he writes as follows. Vizeh, this notion that the light is all focused into the middle of the menorah, shiyeh or neros hayomin, the neros hasmo mechuvon el ha'emtsoi, the lamps on the left and the right of the central pole of the menorah, right? There are seven lamps to the menorah. So the three lamps to the left and the three lamps to the right are all set up in such a way so that the light focuses inward. V'chein roi shiyia inyan ha'or ha'sichli b'chelek ha'iyuni v'gam kein oro b'chelek ha'ma'asi shiyu ponim el ha'or ha'elyon la'avdo shchem echad. This is not by accident, says the Sfarno, because it makes sense that the three lamps on the left side and the three lamps on the right side should all focus in towards the middle of the menorah. Why is that? So he says something briefly here, which he explains at greater length in the beginning of Parshas Baaloscha and Sefer Bamidbar, where we know that the Torah talks again about the idea of the menorah. Says the Sfarno there and here as follows. The three lamps on the right side of the menorah represent the learning of Torah, what he calls over here, ha'or ha'sichli, the intellectual light, b'chelek ha'iyuni, that pertains to the part of Torah which is theoretical, which is being studied. In other words, the right three lamps of the menorah represent the idea of learning Torah, an intellectual activity, and it represents the people who spend their lives learning Torah. Talmidei Chachamim, you know, who basically spend their days in the learning of Torah primarily. The left three lamps of the menorah, the Sfarno explains over there and over here as well, represent the practical performance of mitzvos. As he puts it over here, Oro b'chelek ha'ma'asi. The light of the menorah that pertains to the practical part of Torah. What's the practical part of Torah? Doing mitzvos. And it represents as well the people who spend their lives not engaged primarily in the theoretical study of Torah. In other words, not people who spend their days almost exclusively learning Torah. Everybody is obligated to learn Torah to some extent. But the lamps on the left represent those who primarily are engaged in actions in this world, and most of their connection to Hashem comes not so much through the study of Torah, but rather for the performance of mitzvos on a practical level. You're a businessman, so you follow the halachas that tell you how to be an erlich, a good businessman, and those are your mitzvos. You earn money, so you give tzedakah, and you fulfill those mitzvos that are associated with the giving of tzedakah. Meaning, the menorah itself represents two different groups within Klal Yisrael. You know, those who are mostly focused on learning, and those who are mostly focused on being in this world, and the mitzvos, the practical mitzvos, that are involved in this world. Sometimes we think that those two groups of people, each of them are going on their own path, and they don't really intersect that much. You know? They ask the girl when she starts going out, so you want a guy who's learning, or you want a guy who's working? Right? It's an either-or kind of proposition. Right? Do you want this? Do you want that? You know? And sometimes people think, v'lo karav zelzeh, there's no interaction whatsoever between those two things. So the menorah is meant to teach us that that's not true. Shiyu ponim el ha'or ha'elyon. Whether you're on the right or whether you're on the left, the lamps all focus towards the middle. The lamps all focus towards the middle lamp, which represents the or ha'elyon, the light that comes from the Ribbono Shel Olam himself, meaning la'avdo shchem echad. Whether we spend our time mostly learning or we spend our time mostly working, our goal is the same. It's all to serve the same Ribbono Shel Olam who's represented by the middle of the menorah. Ki oz yo'iru kulam. And when that is done successfully, all of the light is being cast in the same direction. So in other words, you may be learning mostly, you may be working mostly, but your goal is the same. And the light all ends up in the same place. And the light that's generated from everybody is the light which is the light of the menorah. It's not as if these people are casting their light over here and those people are casting their light over there. No, we're all one unit. We're all working together in Klal Yisrael to be able to spread the light of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Kemo sheyad b'menorah, as the Torah says later on concerning the menorah in Parshas Baaloscha, Balos chos haneros, when you light the lamps, el mul pnei ha-menoro yo'iru shivas haneros, the light of those seven lamps will all reflect towards the middle of the menorah. And then the Torah there in Balosha goes on to say, v'zeh maser ha-menorah miksha. The menorah, as we said before, is made from a single piece of gold. We asked before, what's the significance of the fact that it's made from a single piece of gold? So now, based on what he said before about the orientation of the lamps, so now we understand it a little bit better. Ki bios kol ha'or mechuvan le'echad. So, just as all of the lamps are focused in one direction to say that whether you're a learning person or a working person, it all ultimately is oriented towards serving Hashem. Therefore, be'inyan ha-miksha ha-mora achtos. This idea that everyone is together is represented by the very fact that the menorah is made from a single piece of gold. It's all one. We're all one Klal Yisrael. We may have different ways to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but in the end of the day, we're all one, and all of us are needed to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu in that way. And the menorah, therefore, is one solid piece of gold to represent that. Oz nire or ki yohel min hamor hagado. When we conduct ourselves in such a way, we will then see the light that will come from HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. In other words, the menorah is all about this idea of achdus, of coming together, at the same time recognizing that there are different ways to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but it's through the combination of those different ways that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is served in the best possible way. Okay, Rabbi Chanan ben Akasha Omer, Ratzah HaKadosh Baruch Hu.